from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Kat Snow. Let's imagine, as some scientists do, that California's recent dry spell is actually the beginning of an epic drought. Not just two or three dry years, but decades. A drought that would change how we live. Scientists don't know if this is happening, but it's possible. And yet, our cities are, to a great extent, built on the idea that fresh water is endless. So KQED science reporter Amy Standen wanted to ask, where did this idea come from, and what would it mean to change it? She brings us a story in three parts.
Let's start in the past. I wanted to go to a place that felt like a relic, a place that could symbolize the near total domination of man over water.
So you see the bridge over there?
And really, there are plenty of options for this, but the Los Angeles River stands out.
Basically, roll the kayak along this pathway here.
Steve Appleton, a local artist, said he'd take me kayaking. And right away, you could see just how little of this river looks anything like a river. It's more like a 43-mile-long concrete bathtub.
So yeah, this is not the romantic sunset cruise.
And just in case anyone's tempted to do anything fun or outdoorsy here, there's a sign.
Warning, danger, no swimming, diving, water skiing, jet skiing, sailboarding.
Once upon a time, this river was a river. People who lived here fished in it, drank from it. But this river, like all rivers, was unruly. In the 1930s, there were huge floods that killed dozens of people. So the Army Corps of Engineers paved it over and channelized it. And meanwhile, the city had begun getting its water from elsewhere. Massive aqueducts pulled in water from the Owens Valley, 300 miles to the northeast. As a result of all this engineering, two things happened. One, water suddenly seemed endless, which is amazing when you consider that LA gets as much rainfall as Morocco. And two, the river, you could almost forget it existed.
It just became one monolithic trapezoidal channel.
Today, we take this for granted, that water can be engineered into submission. But it's an idea that comes from somewhere. And that somewhere, says David Sedlak, author of Water 4.0, is ancient Rome.
The Romans gave us the idea of public baths, public toilets, and the convenience of water coming directly into your neighborhood.
They did this much the same way we do it today, by importing water in giant aqueducts from distant places. And to the Romans, too, water seemed endless. They staged mock naval battles in giant stadiums, battles in which actual ships floated in artificial lakes. And the pride of ancient Rome were its fountains, hundreds of them.
For the people who visited it, it must have been a marvel. They must have took home with them this idea that the Romans were rich and technologically advanced.
To me here, he's not just talking about Rome. He's talking about California, too. Water, what we've done with it, is a triumph. It's let cities bloom in our deserts. It's given us this huge, thriving economy. The problem is, water doesn't play by our rules anymore. 2013 was the driest year in history. 2014 is not far behind. Which brings me to part two of this story, which takes place on a single block in a regular working-class neighborhood of East L.A.
Hi. I'm doing a radio story about this block.
This is my least favorite part of my job, chasing strangers with a microphone.
Just on a, walking regimen here.
Strangers who are almost always in the middle of something else.
Can't really stop.
Can I walk with you for a minute?
Sure.
Really?
Sure.
Rick Martin walks here because this is the most beautiful block in the neighborhood. It has wide sidewalks, solar-powered streetlights, new landscaping, all thanks to a $3 million overhaul that took place a few years ago, designed to make this block work better in a drought.
Many of the yards, though not all, the Kentucky bluegrass has been removed.
Hadley Arnold co-directs the Arid Lands Institute, a nonprofit in Burbank that trains architects and designers. She says new landscaping here makes more sense for this climate.
Succulents, we've got California live oak, and we've got some rosemary and sage.
But the bigger changes here are less obvious. Most blocks, when it rains, the water goes down a storm drain and into the sewer. Fresh water treated essentially like garbage. But Elmer Avenue soaks it up.
In an average rain year, this block puts enough water for approximately 30 families for a year into the ground.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
In other words, Elmer Avenue is permeable. Storm drains and gardens suck water into underground aquifers where it's stored and can be used later. And if you think about it, this is really the opposite of ancient Rome, the opposite of California's giant aqueducts. Elmer Avenue uses what it has. It doesn't rely entirely on imported water. Hadley Arnold says it can do even better. Look at those peaked roofs, she tells me. They're designed for snow and ice, not the desert. Roofs here should look different.
Roofs that are like a wide mouth open to the sky. Roofs that are like a cup or a bowl or an umbrella turned upside down.
I'm going to stop for a moment here, because what Arnold is getting at is kind of profound. That cities should, wherever possible, be porous. They should be designed to work with the water they have, not fight it. And it turns out, yes, this is the third and final part of this story, that there's a group of architects who are already imagining what this might look like.
Hydromax was a proposal that essentially said, let the water in.
Natalie Getegno is what's called a speculative architect. She's a co-founder of the Future Cities Lab, which is a design studio in San Francisco's Dogpatch neighborhood. And the Hydromax is a model of a building, though not like any I've ever seen before.
You have a kind of shell where all of the kind of inhabitation and occupation would occur. So that's hotels and kind of places to live in, places to shop.
And sometimes they're submerged, sometimes they're not.
Sometimes they're submerged, sometimes they're not.
The Hydromax is designed to accommodate sea level rise. When the tide is high, the building basically floats. And covering the top of it are fabric structures 90 feet long that wave back and forth. Fog harvesting feathers, they're called.
So the fog harvesting feathers would collect moisture. That moisture would actually kind of be channeled back into the hydroponic farm.
Will the Hydromax ever get built? To Getegno, that is not the point. The point is that the old ways of building cities and supplying them with water, ideas we borrowed from the ancient Romans, may no longer make sense in California. And that's an opportunity to ask not just how we'll survive the drought, but how our cities might be transformed by it, maybe for the better. I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.